The world. the wonderful William Bell on Stax Records. Before that, we had Benny Lattimore and an incredible track, Something About You. And that's some wonderful TK Southern stuff, Mike.
Benny Lattimore, of course, just used his surname when he performed, but Lattimore, again, one of those folks who didn't need a lot of fanfare in his home turf down south. All you had to say he was coming, and the place was full.
Yeah, Let's Straighten It Out was another big hit for him. Yeah, I believe he's still going. He's still putting out records.
Still putting out records, still producing. One of the most dependable acts that you'll ever see. Every time you see him, you know he's going to perform well, just like a lot of the other Southern acts. Because to them, we touched on this earlier, it's not so much about them singing for a living as it was just something that they naturally did, something they wanted to do. And their careers manifested that in the sense that they always gave it their all, and it wasn't about a lot of orchestration or anything like that. All of it was just natural from the gut. Plug the microphone in or plug in the amps and just play.
Yeah, and that William Bell had the Muscle Shoals sound rhythm section, and that was a Stax recording. And of course, there is many, many great Stax soul recordings. It was a huge, huge label in its time. There was affiliates like We Produce and Truth Records that Rance Allen was on. Mm-hmm. And it's wonderful, wonderful stuff. And an artist I was mentioning earlier, Sam Dees, who just had one record in the mid-70s, and then in the late 80s came out with another album on his small Pen Pad label, and a wonderful track from that period, After All. I mean, to me, this is modern soul at its best, and mainly only made it as a songwriter. He wrote for Benny King and ZZ Hill and some of the greats in the Southern soul field back in the early 70s. Really a living legend abroad, you know, in the UK, in Japan, in places like that.
It's funny because this music that's being called soul music, this style, very much like the bebop musicians in the 50s, they had to go across the water to get recognized, even though in their own home country, this music would be considered American classical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, it's. I think what's going to happen is, in years to come, people are going to look back, and instead of just remembering the Smokey Robinson and the Aretha Respect, they're going to look at the bigger picture and realize how vast and rich this pure, if you will, classic musical form is. It's artists like Sam Dees, I believe, are going to get their day.
We're gonna get back up. We're gonna take the easy.
all of it was just natural from the gut. Plug the microphone in or plug in the amps and just play.
Yeah, I know you laugh. You've had your last laugh, though. You laughed a whole lot of times as I walked out the door. So don't worry. He be back. See, he's in love and he hung up. But see, God, if he see that you don't want something that's good for you, he takes it away and gives it to somebody else that he feels that can use it. That's why today I can say that, oh, I'm through. Trying to prove my love to you. I'm through. Oh, girl, I'm through. Sometimes I gave up the right when I know he was wrong. But I believe I can stand up today on my own. But I found someone, and I think she understands what it really means, what it really means to have a real man. Her daily deeds and the things she do and say. She say, I'm not trying to take that other woman's place, but if I can't help you, I swear I won't stand in your way. Tell that woman that you're through. Trying to prove your love to her. She said, tell that woman that you're through, boy. I'm through standing up all night waiting on you to return. I don't think it's another lesson I have to wait around and learn. You'll find out falling down the road. See, when you take my heart, I can't let you take my soul. So in love today and tomorrow, tomorrow, you just don't care. When you're tired and gives up on loving the other, and oh, the other one go running in the streets, trying to find it in another.
If that's not an understatement, I gave everything I have. Bobby.
Hey, brother's begging, you got to go with it, you know? Put it out there.
No, incredible. You know, Bobby has been one of my favorites since the early 80s. I just can't get enough of him. He's an amazing vocalist, understanding, communication. All the records from the early 70s are phenomenal. Looking for a Love. And also the great poet records from the early 80s.
Very much so. Yeah. Kind of a down home Donnie Hathaway, not to compare the two, but their whole approach was like that. It's like, well, look here, if I feel like I have to prelude this song by talking about what's on my mind, I'm going to do that. That's what I like the most about Bobby Womack. It seemed like whatever he felt was on his mind at the time. It really made you feel like this was one person that you were talking to. And don't want to seem so schlocky as to say, well, yeah, he sounded like just a friend or something like that. But he really was that. His down home approach was very much like that.
Yeah, exactly. You gain through his music a picture of his world, and you become attached to this beautiful vision and soulfulness. And another artist very much in the same boat, which interestingly Bobby understudied under, is Wilson Pickett. And in fact, Bobby played in Sam Cooke's band, mm-hmm. and then he also played guitar and co-wrote I'm in Love and tracks for Wilson Pickett. So mm-hmm. he had, I mean, definitive killer kind of training in what he was doing.
I would have loved to have been in those sessions here yeah. and Wicked Pickett and Bobby going at it back and forth with the little musical byplay.
Yeah. The Mall of Soul actually said to me that in Vancouver he saw the Wicked one playing with Bobby on guitar, and I thought, wow.
Yeah. Wicked in the sense that he definitely was a presence on stage. It wasn't so yeah. much, it wasn't even his voice as much as it was his presence.
Yeah, and he really, his perfect screaming. I mean, could anybody ever scream like the Wicked one?
That Primus Soul shout, man, that's money in the bank.
Yeah.
Know?
Okay, well, let's listen to a track from a great record, the Hey Jude album. This is Wilson Pickett.
Baby, heaven knows I was out in the cold with my suitcase in my hand, and no place to go. But here's what you done. You took me in, even when you wasn't able. You pawned your best clothes so we could have food on the table. I wish I was back. Tear me up inside, knowing that he got everything, everything I once had. It just make me want to break down and cry. But I should have thought about it before I left. I can't blame you, baby. I was back. Lord have mercy. In your arms one more time.
Tired of the gender binary, gender policing, or just want to speak your truth?
Join CITR's Gender Empowerment Collective.
This group of radio makers is all about centering the voices, issues, concerns, and experiences of women identified, transgender, intersex, two-spirit, genderqueer, gender non-conforming, non-binary, and gender fluid folks and allies.
Anyone can join, no experience necessary.
Like the Gender Empowerment Collective on Facebook or email volunteer at citr.ca.
Our show, Babe Waves, airs Thursdays from 5 to 6 and features music, interviews, events, news, commentary, basically anything we care to talk about.
See you then.
CITR 101.9 FM, CITR.ca. Tune in and podcast. You're listening to African Rhythms, Mike and David from 1997.
Heaven knows, I won't make that same mistake no more. I wish I was back.
I think it's over. I think it's grown man. Yes, I am. I think I can understand. Yes, I can. But you didn't mean me no good. And right now my heart is so heavy. Oh, I'm so happy, baby. I don't need you no more. And if I had someone to love me, and if I had someone to really care, I would be I do. Yeah. And if I had one sunny day, and if I had someone to chase my blues away, I would be the luckiest man in the whole wide world. 'Cause I need somebody just to love me. See, I need to lose this empty feeling, this empty feeling. Someone to stop, I need somebody to stop. These endless nights, I need someone to love. Would you hold me and hold real tight? Would you hold me? Somebody to hold me. Would you hold me? Somebody just to love me. If I only had, if I only had someone to, I need somebody just to hold my hand. Somebody to say,
an almost great summer day here in July, and that was a wonderful Teddy track. Mike, Wow, what a show, eh? We're really going off today.
I tell you, two very dynamic songs by two very dynamic personalities, Wilson Pickett and Teddy Pendergrass, back to back. And just a quick little aside there. I don't want to feel like I'm, or I don't want anyone else to feel like I'm really trashing Michael Bolton, but to Michael Bolton and all his fans out there, if you're listening, that is how you're supposed to scream.
Yeah.
Wilson Pickett, that is how you are supposed to use your voice. That, in classic terms, is called a forte attack. And if you don't think of that as just shouting and screaming, that is what you're hearing. You're hearing the force of air, thought out, planned. It is a musical approach. And in opera, that's no different than Luciano going for the big one when he's singing Nessun Dorma. So, again, that shout thing is something that's just as much a part of the musical thing as singing sweetly.
Yeah, no, I mean, hearing Back in Your Arms, that Wilson Pickett song, having heard it a few times and listening to how he builds and builds subtly and then comes out with the quivering scream, like, it's incredible, really. And I can see how Bobby Womack, as great as he is amazed at how the Pickett can do that, you know. I mean, it's just one of his things. I mean, Bobby has his own little intricacies and what he's great at, but the Wicked One will always be known, you know, for that restrained excitement.
He coined the term soul shouter. I mean, you shouting, yeah, it may be a term to shout as far as it being used in the song, but it is just as much a part of music as being able to sing sweetly or sing with any other kind of emotion.
You're listening to African Rhythms. We've got about another hour of the show left. Mike Ingram's a special guest, and it's an all-soul edition.
Thank you.
sounding like certainly something from the mid-70s. And, I mean, doesn't that give you faith, Mike, you know, only being from 7 years ago, that there are people such as Blaze and, you know, some beautiful music out there. And it just gives me faith and hope for the future that all this music, what was happening in the mid-70s, is going to come around again.
Very much so. I mean, that's a 1990 track by Blaze, and they went right back and did their homework and went back to the formula that was successful in the middle 70s, the arrangement, a falsetto, you know, with the tenor there, a three-man group, but they stuck within the rules, and it works.
Yeah, no, I mean, the way they're Save the Children, you know, the way that they're putting in that Marvin touches and stuff, but not really like stealing. It's like they're paying tributes, but they're looking towards the future of socially conscious music and its importance. Having that kind of music in the mainstream, all the inspiration and joy that it brings, you know, and that kind of music being popular.
Testament to hard work and good thoughts by those in the front and back of the microphone. Yeah.
Come live with me, my beautiful angel.
That's from the great Marvin Gaye, I Want You album. And that was originally a Leon Ware record. Leon Ware, a singer, songwriter, arranger.
Nice little mystery guest in that song that we just heard too, David, the young lady who is doing the ooing and aahing and giving us the eargasm back there. That person is now the CEO of Motown Special Projects, Suzanne DePass.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah, no, it's Leon Ware, one of my favorite artists, but never somebody that really got any of the recognition. He's had recent records out on Expansion's soul label. They have their own record shop and label, and they're doing it over in England. He actually made a new version of that song, Come Live With Me, Angel. And next, we're going to play Leon Ware. It's a track that he made on the West Coast, went out and recorded it, and it sounds uncannily like Marvin Gaye, Why I Came to California.
Forest. That is why I came to California.
a wonderful track for a summer evening, and that is Leon Ware, Why I Came to California, a wonderful track from the 70s on Elektra Records. And Mike, you were saying to me while we were off the mic there that back in the 70s, some of the wonderful stations that were happening back then in New York and Chicago and other places, they would play whole albums and get people to call in.
Oh, no doubt, yes. Yeah. It was a very exciting time in the middle, late 70s, early 80s in New York area radio because they realized they had to expand their format and give folks something different. There was great competition going on between the local stations as far as the rock and roll format and what eventually became urban contemporary, what was labeled that, which really basically meant what we just heard. And what stations were doing, they would play entire albums. One in particular, back in New York, talking about WBLS and WRKS, which was nicknamed KISS, and I think there are a chain of stations with that.
Yeah,
moniker.
Many have taken that name.
Exactly. But what they did was they would have these segments, sometimes early in the morning, it was called bonus hours, where for 3 hours, they would take four or five albums, they would say who the albums were by, and they would alternate tracks all through the 3 hours. They would play almost the entire albums of all of the aforementioned artists, and at the end of the 3 hours, they would backtrack and say, this is so-and-so, this is so-and-so. And it really opened the market up for a lot of the listeners out there, especially the black listeners. And it made a lot more of a healthier financial situation for a lot of the black groups and bands as well.
Well, I think the cool thing with that is, I mean, it still goes on today where people, you know, request things a lot and then they get playlisted. But the cool thing with that is by playing like whole albums, you're going to get some more interesting tracks ended up being played on the radio because the educated listeners out there are going to listen and decide, well, this track's really a really killer track. And suddenly, like that Dells versus Dramatics that we heard earlier on, where there's some really left-field tracks, very deep tracks, that probably would have never been released as singles. But because you're playing the whole albums, people are getting a chance to get into their own tracks.
Exactly.
And, you know, I believe in, you know, that kind of a vision, you know, of making music available, people getting in on judging what's good and bad instead of leaving it to critics and best of jazz books and best of soul.
The consumer is always the best critic because their dollars say what they like and what they don't like. And I like the fact that whether it was by accident or design, they continued the format and it really opened things up for a lot of artists.
Yeah, now here's a great example of an early 70s record, Leroy Hudson, somebody who would have been more known in the black musical scene and not really a crossover, shall we say, artist, although he did co-write The Ghetto with Donny Hathaway. So that's sort of his claim to fame.
Mm-hmm. Ex-Impression?
Yeah, mm-hmm. He was in the Impressions after Curtis left, I believe.
After Curtis left.
Yeah, in the early 70s, and he was on Curtis's label, Curtum, and his first record, Hudson One, has such great tracks as his version of Lucky Fellow, which later became an acid jazz tune, and also this track, which got sampled by Galliano. Check it out.
Just filled with so-
Yeah, Mike, you know, someone could put a version of that out today, and I'm sure it would do well with such a great arrangement, melody, you know, timeless music.
All the elements for a hit is all right there in that particular song. Leroy Hudson, a very underrated performer and arranger.
Yeah, you know, I mean, he hasn't really, in North America, even had one of his records reissued. I mean, he's got a few good ones, Closer to the Source, Hudson's 1 and 2, mm-hmm. the one with the ghetto. A great artist, and we're going to get now back into the Isley Brothers. Just to contrast, I mean, there was 3+3, and there was the earliest stuff that we heard, but this, definitely one of my all-time favorite songs, Harvest for the World.
We talked earlier about that 3 or 4 years time span where the Isleys could do no wrong musically, and this is the Isleys at their best. This was powerful stuff.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Harvest for the World on African Rhythms.
Every man, gather him, every woman, celebrate your lives, give thanks, thanks for your children.
Still curve your lovely smile, a smile so silent, yet saying more than a thousand words could say. Has time changed the seasoning of your heart for the flavors of my mind?
And I'd like to send that one out to a beautiful woman, Sarah.
New York is in the house. I tell you, Black Ivory, who we just heard there, New York group, Leroy Burgess, lead singer, Stu Bascom, kid who I ended up playing basketball with, for Christ's sakes. beautiful tenor voice. They were from Harlem and the South Bronx, respectively. They were a local group that had a lot of local hits. They didn't have the opportunity to expand and get bigger, but a good 5-6 years after they recorded that particular song, Wishful Thinking, they hit their only disco stride with Mainline.
Yeah, I mean, they were and it's certainly an integral part of the disco scene, shall we say. Did very well. Leroy Burgess, we were just talking in the break about all the different things he did under pseudonyms and stuff. And then Patrick Adams, their producer, a very instrumental figure and a highly revered underground figure in dance music.
Mm-hmm. Patrick, a well-thought-out musician and arranger. He wasn't the person who would play behind the scenes or anything like that, but he was a very clever man in that he tried to get the maximum use that he could out of the studio. If he had been the type of person who had Long Green behind him, a lot of people would find out about Patrick Adams and think of him in the same way we think of bigger producers like Gamble and Huff,
yeah.
Lewis and Jimmy Jam. I mean, he would have been that. He would have blew up that large.
Yeah, he would have been. He would have been revered and paid if he'd been given the exposure. But he remained underground, like many other soul producers and artists and labels. And I hope this evening that we've given you some insight into the wide world of soul music. My name's David Love Jones. Mike Ingram's been our special guest, and we've got time for to just quickly focus on the dance scene, and we're going to play. Talk a little bit about Coolin' the Gang, and then we're going to get into the Philly International mix kind of thing. And you know, these are things that we'll be able to. I'm certainly going to have Mike back that we'll be able to expand on in future shows. Let's just start with this Coolin' the Gang.
These guys were supremely confident, all jazz and classically trained musicians. Robert Bell, who was Cool, the youngest of the group, bass player. These guys were laying out signature riffs that every band in that era was trying to copy. And when we said Cool in the Gang, all those out there listening, don't think about Ladies Night and Celebration. This was the real Cool in the Gang that you're about to hear. When these guys first came out, they were about to blow up large. If they had had the proper guiding hand to push their music to the next level. They did with what we really would call quintessential acid jazz, because it's jazz influence, strong, strong horns and riffs of that ilk, and still the basic rhythm track where you got the combination of the two. They were bridging the gap between rhythm and blues and what we now call soul.
Yeah, I mean, you want a bad funk record, a badass funk record of the highest caliber, Coolin' the Gang.
Indeed.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. CITR.ca. Tune in on podcast. You're listening to African Rhythms. Going back to 97 with Mike, one of the first shows we did together. And he'll be back on in another month here in 2017. Coming up, Skulls Hall at the top of the hour.
Yeah.
Abdul and the gang laying down a murderous funk groove. And thank you, Mike, for a wonderful show. We're going to play our last track, which is going to be an interesting mix of Love is the Message, MFSB, and Martin Luther King. And Mike tells me back in the day that this is what was happening on the radio.
This was another extension of the expanded format of radio. Radio were taking all kinds of chances, and it was really exciting. Like I was stating earlier, you had during the noon hour on lunchtime, a lot of the radio stations would get DJs in and they would spin their own stuff. They would do a lot of disco mixing and remixing of songs, and it made radio exciting, especially on days when it was inclement and you didn't want to go out. But this particular mix of Love is the Message and Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech is powerful stuff. And when it was first done, it became a signature hit, not on the radio, but also in the clubs as well.
Yeah, no, it's a beautiful mix, and somehow they just seem made for each other, even though they're not really synced, as it will. Martin Luther's voice just seems to flow and flow, and that beautiful Philly groove, Love is the Message, one of the finest dance tracks that really you're ever going to hear.
Without a doubt, it is truly an anthem.
Yeah, and thank you so much, Mike, for coming back on the show.
David, thank you for having me.
Whether you're passing the peas in Pitt Meadows, or cooking catfish in Kitsilano, or tasting toe jam in Tawasin, if you want to know where the soul trees grow, the roots of all that encompasses it can be found right here on African Rhythms.
Yeah, no, we've had another wonderful show. This has been the All Soul edition of African Rhythms. Until next time, I'll be back in 2 weeks. Peace and love.
Even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up, live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these self-evident that all men are created. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day, down in Alabama, with its vicious racist, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification,
One day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted. Every hill and mountain shall be made low. The rough places will be made plain. And the crooked places will be made straight. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the dangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day. This will be the day when all of God's children be able to sing with new meaning, "My country tears of thee." Sweet land of liberty of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrims cry. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And if America's to be a great nation, this must become true. So let freedom ring. From the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire, let freedom ring. From the mighty mountains of New York, let freedom ring. From the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania, let freedom ring. From the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado, let freedom ring. From the Fairbanks and slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring. From Stone Mountain of Georgia, let freedom ring. Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring, and when this happens, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of us, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual. Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last.
UBC's Museum of Anthropology displays long-term and visiting exhibits of indigenous art from around the world, and guided tours are free. Our permanent collection features one of the world's finest exhibits of Northwest Coast First Nations art. Our collection includes 36,000 ethnographic pieces, 535,000 archaeological pieces, and over 600 pieces in the Kroner Ceramics Gallery. There's a lot to take in. Luckily, at the Museum of Anthropology, final exams are always take-home. If you've never checked out this world-class facility, now's your chance.